Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Raj Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Oh my gosh, Raj, why do we make life so hard?
Why do we make life so hard? Wow. Why do you make life so hard, Perletta?
I've got a plethora of reasons of how I make life hard. One of them is persistent busyness and having an inability at times to just say no. It causes all sorts of stress, and I make life hard because I try to cram it all in. And then I get frustrated with myself when I can't get it in. Or I'll be late running from thing to thing to thing, and I get on my nerves and I get on other people's nerves, and it's just very frustrating. That's just only one way that I make life hard, by the way. Just one.
Just
how about you, Ron?
Yeah. It sounds like a lot, Perletta. It sounds like there's a lot in the way.
That's the persistent one. And, you know, as I talk to busy professionals, because I do all the time, it's one of the traits I think many of us have is the pressure to perform and complete things and to do it efficiently. And, of course, when we complete things, there's expectations that we add more things. And so it's a never-ending cycle, right, of making it hard and not feeling satisfied. But that's just one. How about you?
Okay, so it's similar, okay? I want to do a whole lot of stuff, so I do also end up saying yes to a lot of different things. And then what happens is, you know, I feel paralyzed sometimes because I just have so much and I don't know. And then I start to let like little things go. Like maybe I won't make my bed that day, or that even then that goes into the next day. Then my house becomes a mess, you know, because now I'm trying to focus on all these other things. So then now this part of my life is now chaotic, right? So it's like chaos moves from one thing to the other. And then it seems like everything is hard. So it's like, it's just a matter of how I move into that space of just trying to, like, sometimes I'm not good at seeing things, like how long they're actually going to take. And then I just say yes. So that's how my life gets hard.
What's interesting about the subject is sometimes I think we expect life to be hard. I know. Growing up, I heard that life sure is hard. You know, it's hard out there. And so it's almost
it's
like
a jungle.
It's a jungle out there. Oh my God, that's a song. Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. But anyway, on some level, and we talk about this a lot, we focus our show on actually being aware of our conscious mind and really empowering our listeners to be aware that we have the power to create our own reality. And so when I'm feeling crazy because I'm making life hard, I have to stop and ask myself, why am I making it so hard? What am I doing, you know, to facilitate that process? Because when it feels hard, quite often it doesn't feel like I'm at the cause of it. It feels like I'm at the effect of it. And that is completely untrue. I am at the cause of it. And if I slow my road long enough to really be present to what I'm creating and look at how I ended up running through my day, feeling like I had no time to breathe, going from appointment to appointment and sometimes running late because I didn't give myself time in between, you know, for traffic or for meetings to go over, I realized that a whole host of things, that my health and well-being has been impacted because I've been running on adrenaline, that my energy is off, and sometimes I blow in the meeting kind of like, you know, I've just sorry I'm late, you know. Because I'm not in control of it. I'm trying to catch up with myself. And the reality is I'm not at the effect of it. I'm at the cause of it. And you've heard about the placebo effect, right, Raj?
Yep, absolutely.
So for our listeners who may not have heard about it, it's when the mind, through positive suggestions, can improve the health. And so, for example, they do it in medical or other actually types of experiments all of the time, where they'll give someone a placebo, and there's an experiment group, and then there's the control group. So, and then they'll give the rest of the people the actual medicine, for example. And what they have found many years ago through this process is that sometimes people who have the placebo, so they just got a sugar pill, they didn't get any medication, their health actually improves. And so the placebo effect is recognizing that your positive thinking can help improve your health and well-being. It can pull you out of depression, and it can help you heal. And then there's also the nocebo effect. Have you ever heard of that, Raj?
Yes, I have.
Ah, and what is that?
Actually, I just heard about it a couple of days ago. Somebody said that. I didn't know that before a couple of days ago. It's the opposite, right? It's the negative. Yep.
So it's when the mind is engaged in negative suggestions, it can actually damage the health and well-being. So, for example, ruminating or obsessing or constantly whining about something can really cause the opposite of the positive placebo effect and cause a negative effect. And so in this conversation about making life so hard, if we're anticipating life being hard through our minds and our way of thinking about it, we can actually make life hard. So Raj and I engaged in this conversation, what was it, about a year ago, Raj, when we both said we were going to stop saying we were so busy, we were just too busy. Didn't we say that about a year ago?
But we haven't stopped saying it, though. We haven't stopped saying it.
Well, you know what's funny is I don't really say the words as much, but my actions are still in alignment with it.
Yeah.
I don't even have to say the word, right?
I say the word. You're like, Raj, remember? We weren't going to say that word.
That's funny. But I mention that because neuroscience, and so much is being communicated now about neuroscientists and what they're learning about the mind and how it impacts the body and how it impacts emotions. But neuroscience has shown us that the conscious mind runs the show at the most 5% of the time. That's according to researchers. So we're only aware, consciously aware, of about 5% of our beingness. What is at the heart of the 95% is our subconscious thoughts and experiences. And that's important in this context of, you know, why we make life so hard, because we may not be aware of why we're making life so hard. So, Raj, you and I, quote-unquote, and I think the masses of men and women in the Western Hemisphere are really busy people. I think most of us are really, really busy. And on some level, even when we say we're not going to be busy, we end up being busy anyway. So what do you think is at the heart of that 95% that's subconscious or unconscious that creates that?
That creates us being busy? The 95%?
Uh-huh.
Well,
yes.
Well, first of all, I mean, the subconscious mind is everything from the past, right? So like when I think of myself saying yes, when I really am already overcommitted, there's something within my subconscious mind that is wanting whatever, more validation or more whatever, you know, whatever it is that I'm wanting to do more of, so that maybe I can feel validated or I can feel better about myself, or maybe I'll get some praise from somebody, or, you know, I don't know what it's going to be different for every person, but it's coming from within ourselves, usually from the past, and our insecurities and our fears and our need for validation and our need for, you know, love and belongingness, all of that. So all of that plays into this busy factor.
And it doesn't just relate to being busy. I asked you that question because for two reasons. A, I wanted to highlight that we're not always aware of what's driving us, right? You and I seriously did have a conversation about a year ago saying we're going to stop saying we were busy because we could tell we were whining and we weren't really doing anything about it. And so
right.
We committed to actually saying, okay, I'm aware that I'm creating a state of busyness and it has a negative impact on me, right? And and so although we don't say the word to the degree that we used to, we haven't dealt with it on a more subconscious level. Because that takes another level of awareness. I'm actually challenging myself to engage in it, but it's important because it's running me as opposed to my running it. And the second thing is what you just said, and it is multifaceted. It is going to depend on the person. Sometimes we make life hard because, you know, we have guilt, shame, or blame associated with it. So whatever it is that we're engaging on, there's another level of, you know, emotions or thoughts that we're attaching to it. We may be stressed because, you know, we have work schedules that are arduous, or we are in a competitive environment, and so we're being compared, judged based upon what someone else is or is not doing. Or we may have commitments to our family members that require us to earn more money, and the more we work, the more we make. And so there are those types of pressures. And then just more personally, you mentioned, I think, expectations of ourselves and others. Or I know some people are dogged with the desire to be perfectionists, right? So if you're consistently working toward something because you never think it's good enough, then that can make life really hard. So there are a gazillion reasons. The question the answers that we want to talk about are the potential solutions. What can you do about it? And one of those things is...
Perletta, I just want to add here, you know, like I know we talk a lot about like being busy and things like that, but I feel that there are many of our listeners may be stuck in inertia where they're not busy enough. So I just want to make sure that we cover both ends of the spectrum. You know what I mean? Because being too busy and not being able to be busy enough, I think can have similar, frustration.
Yes. So I mentioned the example about being busy, but the example is whatever the example a person hears when they make life hard. So if you make life hard in your finances, if you make life hard in not being busy, if you make life hard in your relationships, if life just feels hard, there's an opportunity to look at developing a deeper understanding of your own personal programming, and that's the subconscious. It's not necessarily what you're aware of that's happening, like I may not be busy or I never have enough money or whatever the situation is, but to look a little bit deeper behind, you know, what are the long-held beliefs that you have or emotions that you have that are associated with the circumstance that you're creating that doesn't feel like you're creating it because it feels like you're at the effect of it. And sometimes that just requires that you sit with it. I mean, I think you mentioned a little earlier that, you know, we don't just sit with what's happening. You know, we immediately go into fixing it. But sometimes it actually, it would be helpful to reflect, you know, why do we create so much using the example that we were talking about busyness? Why is it so hard for you to say, no, Raj, when someone asks you to do something, for you to say, let me get back with you on that before you say yes, and to give yourself enough time to reflect on how it's going to impact you by putting that new or extra thing that they've asked you to do into your schedule. What stands in your way from doing that?
For me, there's like when there's a huge gap between where I'm at and where I want to be, okay, that's what gets in my way. That's when I get overwhelmed. That's when it feels really, really hard. So for me, to close that gap if I can do it on a consistent basis. Like, for example, let's say that, you know, I have a certain goal. Let's say that, you know, whatever the goal may be, I have that goal, and now I have to, if I can't see myself having achieved that, that's a huge gap, right? So every night I might go to bed imagining myself already having achieved it. And I might do that for like a month straight, every night when I go to bed, every morning when I get up. You know, I feel myself a little bit closer because I'm celebrating that little bits of, you know, information that I'm getting, that little bits of progress that I'm making. So for me, to make life less hard is to close that gap, which means that I have to be willing to bring myself closer to it, and I have to first start with my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what we're talking about. Your mindset is your word for developing a deeper understanding of your personal programming, right? The way you think about the situation or yourself. And how do you do that?
Right. How do I do what? Can you ask that question again?
How do you develop a deeper understanding
of yourself?
Of your mindset that keeps you making the situation hard.
Well, to develop a deep set level of awareness, okay? And I know, I mean, that's it may seem really rhetorical at this point, but, you know, just to develop that sense of awareness of who you are, and that's why I was talking about, you know, where you are and where you want to be. Just having the awareness that, oh, this is what I'm doing. This is what, just like creating that distance between you and your thoughts and your emotions. Mm. To me, there's no other way, because it's kind of like the Matrix. If you ever saw that movie, you're in this system and you don't even see it. You don't you don't see that you're in the system. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're in this matrix. So the only way to see that you're in the matrix is to create that distance between you and your thoughts and your emotions. Then you have a chance to kind of step back and say, huh, this is why life is so hard. Because my process is not working real well. You know, this is what I've been doing my whole life. This has become my pattern, and this is what I continue to do. And if I continue to do this and expect different results, it doesn't work. Right?
No, it doesn't. So that level of mindfulness, using that term, is really what you're speaking to. And, I mean, we started off jokingly serious with the show, like, what's making you crazy today? And, you know, even though we made that commitment some time ago, it, on some level it is crazy making, right? Because we sometimes do expect a different result. I know sometimes when I work really hard to check things off my list, I expect my list to be free, even though experience has taught me that new things will just appear. You know, so that saying, when it rains, it pours, is an example of that. It's like there's stuff that's always going to be pouring down. But when I'm mindful of it, I get to determine and be at the root cause of how I approach those things. What are my attitudes and beliefs and behaviors that are going to help me be in alignment with not being a stressful, you know, maniac running around trying to accomplish stuff, but really in not making life hard, but being at the cause of creating an experience for myself that has me accomplishing things, but in a pace that's healthy, that feels like I'm honoring myself and others, and that allows for me to honor my agreements and keep my appointments on time.
Mm.
And being mindful is one of the tools that I use to help me to do that. Along with, because a part of the mindfulness is, I asked you the example, the question I asked, you know, what keeps you from saying, you know, give me a moment. That's one of the actually tips I've worked to use with clients. Instead of them saying yes, because this is not just an issue that we're talking about, but people actually sometimes, women in particular, I'm stereotyping, but it, in my work it has been true, sometimes have a hard time saying no. And one of the tools that I use that helps with mindfulness is to just say, instead of saying yes or no, just asking the person to give you a moment to think about it and get back with them. Because that moment of pause, as opposed to the automatic yes, the moment of pause gives you a moment to reflect and consider the impact and what it would cause you to do. And then from that place, as opposed to the automatic programming that you were talking about, from that place of reflection, then you can answer after considering, you know, how that will change your own personal dynamic. And the key to that is giving your yourself time to think and reflect on how it's going to impact your behavior, your, you know, your workflow, your life. One of the just another point on that that I think sometimes we don't consider are our feelings. You know, when life feels stressful for whatever reason, so however you make life hard again, it, you know, do we oftentimes sit back to consider how it makes us feel? You know, sometimes we get so accustomed to life being hard that we don't realize how uncomfortable it is, right? We skip right over our feelings about it and because we're so focused on the doing of it. Do you ever do that, Raj?
Yeah, and, you know, and this is important. What you're bringing up is a really important point. Either, this is what I find, you know, when I see clients, okay, it's all about bringing ourselves to balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we're too feeling-oriented, then that gets us in trouble. When we're all in the thinking, that gets us into trouble. When we're all in the doing, that gets us into trouble, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the most important thing is, and this is exactly what you're alluding to as well, is, you know, like we have to, you know, think about it. So you're saying take that pause, tell the person that, you know, I'll get back with you, give me a moment. And then what you're doing, and then also being tuned into your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that what you're, I mean, that's what you're saying,
for sure.
That you've got to be able to handle all three of those things.
Yeah. Albert Ellis, who was, I think, one of the founders of humanistic psychology and the cognitive behavioral therapy in the very beginning, talked about how it's important to consider your thinking as well as your behavior and your feelings. And sometimes people think that your thinking causes your behavior and your feelings, or that your feelings cause your behavior and thinking. And what he said was that they're all interrelated. Like your thinking causes your behavior and your feelings, and your behavior causes your thinking and your feelings, and your feelings causes the other. Mm-hmm. So we're a system. And the key to understanding who we are as a system is to look more deeply at what's driving us, what's driving our feelings, what's driving our behavior, and what's driving our thinking. And so in the example that I gave, oftentimes what drives for many people, particularly in, I'm going to say it again, the Western Hemisphere, is this work ethic. We believe that working hard, you know, is one of those generalizations in society, means that you're working, you know, better somehow. Working hard means, you know, it's a Protestant work ethic. It means you're really doing a great job. And whenever I hear people say that now, I cringe from this different perspective that I hold about working hard, because we do ourselves a lot of disservice from a feelings and behavioral standpoint when we measure who we are and what we're doing based upon this notion that it needs to be harder and more, because we skip over how we may feel about that, what the impact is on us by being so driven to, you know, get things done, and with the idea that they should, if it's not hard, somehow it's not working. You get what I'm saying?
Somehow that word, I cringe too. It's like really, like, you know, you're already walking into it like you're already resisting something there. It's just hard, you know. Why not, you know, I'm gonna do the work, you know, to the best of my ability. And there needs to be balance there. Why does it have to be easy or hard? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't it be something in between? Why can't it be more balanced? Then maybe our life will be more balanced too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe life won't seem so hard.
Well, it doesn't have to be hard.
There's this notion. No, and it's not hard. It's not hard.
But we go into it.
And when we go into life saying it's going to be so hard, yes, it is hard. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do everything hard. It's going to be hard. You know, school is going to be hard. And then having kids is going to be hard. And being married is going to be hard.
Girl, I was going to say, girl, you know relationships are hard. We hear that all the time. Ooh, that's so hard.
I mean, where does that come from, right? Relationships. Everybody, I hear that all the time. Oh, marriage is hard work, you know. Relationships are just so hard. Yeah, of course they're going to be hard, you know, if we go into it with that attitude.
Okay, now you say I'm relationships, Rod, because you know relationships are hard. Now, you know that's the truth now. You know what's so beautiful about that is when you meet someone, and I don't mean it could be in a platonic relationship or a love relationship, you know, with a partner, when the relationship just flows, you know, I have friends in my life I've never had an argument with. I have relationships with people that we've been in flow since the first time we met, and it's so easy. And sometimes when it's easy, quote unquote, we take it for granted, right? And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. So the real challenge, because we have about a minute to wrap things up, is life is not hard. Life is what you make it. And if you're in a conversation with yourself about how life is really hard and difficult for you, then we challenge you to really look at what are the beliefs and attitudes and thoughts that you have that are contributing to the experience that you're having of life being hard. Thank you for joining us today on Living Life Powerfully. Please feel free to tune in next week when Raj will lead us in a conversation about anxiety and happiness and how you can create meaning even through an anxiety-driven experience. So you can use that anxiety to your good. Between now and then, please feel free to reach us at pearlrodradio@gmail.com or like us on our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully. Stay true to yourself and stay empowered.
Have a wonderful week.